Talk about something nice now, something happy, something positive, and that was the return of Mystic Journey in a trial in Tassie yesterday.
And we've got Century Arrow, the inside of Dothraki Princess. Mystic Journey and Chahitzi making their runs now down the centre of the track. It's Dothraki Princess in front over Century Arrow. Out wide, Chahitzi and Mystic Journey run on into third spot, but it's going to be Century Arrow leading all the way to defeat Dothraki Princess. A photo for third, maybe Chahitzi just for Mystic Journey, but we'll leave it to the judge. Skip Town Mike was next.
It was just a little pipe opener for Betty as we got to see her for the first time back on track, and Wayne Roser would have been very excited, the owner of Mystic Journey, who joins me this morning. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Michael.
Were you happy with what you saw yesterday?
Oh, extremely happy, mate. Good to see her back.
There's no doubt about that. I didn't get to see the trial myself. How did she look, and what was the feedback from Adam Trinder?
Oh, Adam is extremely happy. She was a bit heavy, first out and all that type of thing, the long campaign coming up. So she was only there to be just to have a day out, actually. And she was very fresh in the barrier, and Dave Perez came up from Hobart to ride her, which was fantastic. And it was just a day out, and probably went a little bit too fast for us, actually. The last, as Adam said, the last 600, she probably ran 32.5 on the bridle, so... she put in, but she'll do a bit more in a couple of weeks' time.
We've been in contact with Adam regularly, and the COVID situation is causing some headaches as far as you're concerned, because I know you don't like to see Mystic Journey out of Adam's care in regards to when he travels her. You've been very strong on that in the past, and the situation here in Victoria is going to make that extremely difficult. So I believe the decision's been made that the PB Lawrence will be her kickoff date, and will Adam actually be able to come across with her, or will she be put into the care of someone else during that early part of the Victorian campaign?
No, unfortunately, Adam won't be able to travel. It's extremely disappointing. As you know, we didn't go to Adelaide after the William Reid, because Adam couldn't go. But we've got to make the hard call, actually, and so she'll go to Tony McElvoy, who's an amazing guy. And Adam and he get on very well, and the people that work there are fantastic, so she's in good care when she goes there.
So she'll be based at Ballarat?
No, at Flemington.
Or Flemington. At Flemington,
yeah, Flemington,
right. Yeah.
She always goes to Flemington. Yep. Tony gives her the same stall each time, and she knows the surroundings, so she's very happy there.
And decision also for Billy Egan to ride her in those first couple of runs. What was the reasoning behind that with Anthony Dunmanin's great association with her throughout her entire career?
Yeah, it was a very hard call, actually. It's, it's extremely disappointing that we had to make this call. But unfortunately, Anthony hasn't been riding very much at all. And as you know, you've got to be match fit. Irrespective of what profession you're in, you've got to be match fit. And Billy's riding very, very well. Billy knows her. Billy had some work with her when she first went over there as a two-year-old to Patrick Payne's place. So Billy knows her. Billy was down here for the carnival. He rode Mystical Pursuit very well in a couple of races. So we went with Billy at this for the first two races anyway, and we'll see where we go from there.
Oh, you're a very loyal person with Mystic Journey. It must have been a difficult call for you. And how was it? Have you spoken to Anthony Dunmanin? How did he take the news?
No, I haven't. Adam has. Naturally, he'd be very disappointed with it. He's a lovely guy. And he'd be extremely disappointed. But you've got to, like what happened last prep, things change so quickly, so you don't get opportunities all the time. So we just got to make the hard call, and I think we owe it to Mystic that we've got to put someone on there that's riding all the time, actually. And it gets back to what I said. Any profession you're in, you've got to be match fit. And if you're not riding all the time, you just lose that little bit. But Anthony will be back. There's no doubt about that, I don't think.
Oh, so the door's not shut on Anthony and Mystic Journey?
Oh, no. No, Billy's been... given the first two rides, hopefully everything goes to plan, PB Lawrence, and then the Memsies, which is a couple of weeks later, and then we'll reassess then, and we'll just see where Anthony's at as far as his riding's going.
You would have had every major jockey in Australia ringing you at some stage about trying to get on Mystic Journey. Billy Egan's been riding magnificently here, but again, you've probably gone for a jockey who isn't one of the headline superstars of the sport.
No, I haven't been harassed because I rarely have my phone on, actually. But I think Adam has from, the top of the tree jockeys. But we go with people that, Billy's riding fantastic. He's ridden for me. He's ridden, as I said, Mystical Pursuit. We should have won the Strat just because of the circumstances of the race. And he rode Pursuit in to win another one. And he knows Betty. So that's the ball game, actually.
Are you leaving everything up to Adam Trinder about what her ultimate goal is? See how she comes through the first couple of runs before you decide whether it's a Cox plate or whether she's just a miler?
We work as a team, mate. We discuss everything, where we're going with everything. We'll probably, you know, fingers crossed, we'll go to the PB Lawrence and the Memsies, and then we'll try to win the Maccabi Diva, which we've done over last time. And I mean, I thought she ran very well in the Cox plate. I mean, her peak speed was faster than any other horse in the race. And she finished off very well, and she just lost the footing on the corner. So, yeah, we'll see how we're going there, mate. But, and I think she runs out to 2,000. And we could even go with the Cox plate and then to the Empire Rose. So we'll just see how it all pans out.
How are things in Tassie, Wayne? You're one of the biggest supporters down there, and we've had a lot of discussion on this program because we love all the Tassie listeners down in Tasmania about the state of racing, prize money levels after you had that period of no racing. How do you see the sport in Tassie?
Struggling. Just got to mince my words here. Well, be careful with the words. I think it was very disappointing what they did when they closed it down. No consideration for racing and the people involved. I mean, it supports, it's one of the major industries in Tasmania. Employs 5,000 or plus people, 100,000, 100 million, I should say, the economy, et cetera, et cetera. And then overnight, they just close it down. So it's very hard to come to terms with that. And I don't think the government supports it very much. This government not only pulled the plug here, when they first came to power, they took money out of the racing industry with the funding agreement, and we're just getting back to where we were about 3 years ago. So it's struggling, mate. And then you hear that they supported the industry during the breakdown. Well, they didn't support at all. The money was from the industry itself, which was from the funding agreement when they stole the tote. So there's a lot of misrepresentation going on. What's going on?
Is Taz Racing doing enough, Wayne?
No.
So do you think there's changes that need to be made?
Oh, there's got to be changes made. For the industry to advance, there's got to be changes made. I mean, you've got one of the major components from the funding agreement goes to the administration of Taz Racing, not to the people that actually run the place and you know, keep the industry going, the owners particularly, but also other participants. So you look at the latest statistics, I think about a third of all money goes to the administration of keeping a business going, which only has a few meetings a week.
You're in a different situation to a lot of owners, but can you race horses viably in Tasmania?
No. No. Mm. Economically, it's impossible. With the cost, I mean, whether you're running in a horse in Melbourne or here, it costs the same to feed them, and all the other associated costs. I mean, the training fees are a little bit different, a little bit less, but the feed and all that other items are just the same as in Melbourne. So it's unsustainable for owners to keep viable economically anyway.
Wayne, we'll continue to press the issues because it is a common theme from everyone we speak to involved in the racing industry in Tasmania that at the moment, economically, it isn't viable, which leads to a pretty dim outlook for Tassie racing. And especially when you've got the champs such as Mystic Journey and you've got the inevitable, the calibre of horses coming out of Tassie in the last couple of years, you've been punching so far above your weight, it's not funny. We want to see a thriving industry in Tasmania. Wayne, appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Michael, and all the very best, mate.